with 28 guys. Now my odds are just better.
You know, I'm so bad at math, you guys. Don't ask me.
Not an easy problem to have, but it's a fun one to have, going on date after date after date. I am the most uncoordinated, clumsy person. I think I had a pretty good picker.
Bring on the man.
Put up with me through the entire journey.
Don't you know?
Hi, everybody. This is Fantasy Suite Week, so you know what that means.
Snooze Fest.
Oh. Hubba, hubba.
I was going the other way. I feel like this is usually the most boring episode.
It's sex stuff. That's what we're talking about.
Oh. It's not the most boring episode for the actual people on the show. It's exciting for them.
Insertion. So, fun fact, I guess, you know, if you read our favorite book, Bachelor Nation by Amy Kaufman.
Whoa, don't go telling people what my favorite book is, because it's not that.
Do you want to tell us what happened this week
Ulysses.
On The World According to Garp?
What happened
this week on The World According
His
to Garp?
His mom just got assassinated.
What?
His mom. She's a famous, like, feminist author. She got assassinated at the end of this chapter.
This book is insane.
People are dying all over the place in The World According to Garp.
What? We have to watch this movie. I want to see how this ends.
I'm like 80 pages away from finishing the thing, so it'll be done soon, and we can finally watch the movie. Maybe this weekend.
That's crazy.
I know.
Assassinated?
Yeah.
By who? Was it Lee Harvey Oswald?
A man with a hunting rifle.
So it was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Maybe. It was deer season, so people were like, I guess he's got a gun, whatever, and then he just shot her.
John Wilkes Boothed. She got boothed.
Yeah, and then he got Jack Ruby'd instantly.
Boom!
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's different.
Yeah, that was
different assassinations.
Those are totally different people.
Those are different assassinations,
Sorry.
But the same action.
Sure. All of that. So this week is a Fantasy Suite Week, and as we know, it is all about the intercourse. But it is also...
We need a boing soundtrack.
Yeah, we'll find some stuff. But also, we have a really special announcement for you guys. As discussed last week,
yeah,
we had something...
If you stuck around to like the 57th minute last week,
yes.
You got to know... I guess you didn't get to know anything. You got to know that there was going to be a surprise announced this week.
This week.
And if you stick around till like the third minute of this week, we'll just tell you right now what it's going to be.
So tomorrow we will have a very special one-on-one or three-on-one, two-on-one. What's
two-on-one.
The math on that?
There's two of us and one of him.
Two-on-one. We will have a very special zone defense episode of 25 to Life.
It's not a zone defense. It's Taylor on top of my shoulders, and we're wearing a big trench coat, like little kids trying to buy stuff at the grocery store. Or
like Muppets Take Manhattan.
Like Muppet, I guess that's it. Yeah.
Yes. We will have a very special episode featuring our favorite friend, new friend of the podcast, John Graham.
Hot John.
Hot John. Venmo John is going to be on 25 to Life. This is major. This is huge.
He came into the studio and gave us an hour of time to talk to him.
He really did.
And he like got to know us before that even.
Yeah.
It went as well as it could possibly go.
You guys, John is like the nicest person I've ever met.
I want to be real friends with him so bad.
And I think you actually might be.
I want to be.
I know.
I want to be like, dude, what are you doing? It's Saturday. Let's go like for a run and then get some lunch or something.
I think that would be really cute.
Talk about
bro stuff. I think the two of you guys could do that and go to Blue Barn and get a big salad and talk about bro stuff.
I don't even want to talk about bro stuff. I want to talk about like books and, you know, highbrow stuff.
Yeah.
I need somebody in my life to talk about highbrow stuff with me.
He's looking at me because it's not me.
No, it's not you. You're not providing that for me.
Nope.
I need the internet for that, usually.
So tomorrow, we will feature our episode where we talk about John's time on the show. We will also talk about sort of his feelings about where Becca is in her relationship, if
there's
you
a,
will.
There's a lot in there.
There's a lot in there. And there's a lot in there that could change the way that you look at the show fundamentally, because John is so smart, and he's great, and he's wonderful.
Yeah, like, if you're listening to this, you have friends.
You
so,
definitely have friends.
So, tell them.
Yeah.
But then also, listen to it yourself.
Also do that.
Do everything with tomorrow's episode. It's going to be actually good, and not just me and Taylor sitting and talking into a microphone with all these people in the studio.
It's major. And one other thing, a fun fact, if you're living in San Francisco, and you see Hot John out on the street, say hi to him. He'll say hi back.
He likes it.
He loves it.
Celebrity isn't for everyone. It is for him.
Oh, yeah. John loves it. He's so great.
Anyway, that's coming tomorrow.
Yes, exciting stuff.
For the rest of the show, you're just going to have to listen to these two idiots.
Right, and a special shout out to Nicole, who made the introduction to us with Hot John. We thank you, we love you, and we continue to appreciate
you. She makes a brief appearance on tomorrow's episode.
A soft appearance.
Giggling in the background, occasionally saying hello. And
it's more of a titter, if you will.
It's fantastic.
Speaking of titters, Fantasy Suite Weeks. So the first date belongs to Blake. Let's just get right into it.
That's how it happens. It's like, guess what? We're in Thailand, and we're going on a date with Blake.
That's right. So the date between Becca and Blake is a classic sort of temple walk and talk, if you will. And they always like to do these dates.
There's a gimmick.
Yes, they always like to do these dates where they go to some sort of sacred ground where people can't touch or people can't kiss. And, you know, that's supposed to make you have these deep conversations with people. And it's also supposed to heighten the intensity until you get to the fantasy point.
Well, I'm so horned up.
Yeah. I'm getting, Blake's pushing me to the edge.
Are you getting one step closer to the edge and you're about to?
I'm about to. Real bad.
Break!
So, Blake.
Oh my god.
I'm about to Blake. I'm about to, oh my god. How do we not do this?
I don't know.
I'm better than this.
What a bunch of idiots.
So anyway, we go to this thing. They can't kiss on this little hiking trail, so they do it anyway. It's mind-blowingly impossible for Blake, who is the human affection machine. Blake isn't a contest. I mean, they're all in a contest. This is a dating contest. But Blake is in a contest with Becca that no one else knows about, including her. And the goal is to be the one who's the most into it. He's the only one who knows. He's the only one who's competing. But he's losing. Or
his
winning.
His relationship with Becca has gotten very intense very quickly to me. You know, is it pure? Is it coming from the right place? Yes. Do I feel like he really does love her? Yes, 100%.
Seems like it.
He totally does. Like, all of his feelings are genuine. I personally would just be a little bit terrified because Blake seems like the kind of person that would watch you sleep.
Yeah, like intentionally stay up to watch you sleep.
Yeah.
And then wake you up in the middle to wonder why you aren't watching him sleep.
Right. Or to listen, make sure that you're breathing.
Yeah. He seems like that. So they get together. He's like, listen, I love you. It's the only thing he says. Then they go in this little no kissing thing. They meet these monks. They come back. And he's like, listen, I love you so much. I don't know what I would do if you didn't love me back the same. But it's also impossible that you do because I love you so much. And you're like, dude, I don't think this is healthy for anybody.
He's freaking me out. And now, mind you, let's not forget the whole thing about his last relationship where, you know, he had all of these panic attacks and he had a really challenging breakup with his previous girlfriend. And then
I wonder why.
Yeah,
he gets
because
so
he
emotionally
gets
involved.
Really, really involved. And, you know, he is a super vulnerable person, which, yes, I understand that. And there is a place for it in the show. And that is pretty much how you, quote unquote, win. But it's really kind of scary.
You're supposed to be involved in the relationship you're in. That's sort of like the thing about being in a relationship.
Yeah, that's
good. However, at a certain point, it's not healthy for either one of you if one person is so high maintenance.
No.
And this is the moment for me. They're sitting there and they're at dinner and he's like, listen, I know that nobody in the universe loves a person as much as I love you. That's just given. I know that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how you feel about the other guys. And you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, dude. That's what dating is about.
Right.
You know what you think and you don't know what they think. And that's the concept of a relationship.
And that was one of the things that I thought was kind of interesting, that usually it doesn't take this long for the contestants, if you will, to understand that she or the lead is in a relationship with other people. And then once you get to the point where you have feelings for somebody, it's really hard to pull back that sort of, I can't believe that she's in love with somebody else. Yes, that is part of the game. It is a challenging part of the game, but that is part of the game. And so you have to play your emotions in that kind of way. It's hard to deal with, but I guess they just make you talk about it all the time. I mean, now after talking with John, I'm so enlightened about this whole process. So I really have a different sense of what's going on.
Part of me feels bad for Blake because he's about to get himself destroyed.
Yes.
The other part of me feels bad for Becca because he's going to swim fan her. Ooh. He is definitely, there's no way he doesn't.
Great movie.
Yeah, that's culturally current.
Totally. It is absolutely not. Wait a minute. It is absolutely not. Well, technically it might be because Sherry Appleby was in that movie, and Sherry Appleby is the star of Unreal.
I believe you, but what I'm saying is that my cultural currency is from at least 10, 12 years ago. It stops there. So
what's Jesse Bradford doing right now?
Swimming. That's sort of the concept.
I don't know. Maybe I should Google that. He seems like he'd be right up my alley.
So anyway.
Sort of a small, petite, brown-haired young man with good lips. Yeah, that's me.
You have that.
Do I?
I mean, and there's a universe where that's not too far away from a description of me.
So on to Jason.
I wear glasses, though. So they go into the fantasy suite. They knock boots. That's the end.
They have sex. It's cute. Whatever. And then Blake continues to breathe into Becca's mouth. Blake starts to spiral and, you know, things are going to escalate very quickly when they go to the finale.
All of the finale is going to be Blake's meltdown.
Yes.
It's going to be a fireworks show of Blake.
It is going to be 4 hours of Blake melting down.
I have 2 weeks to fit as many times as I can say, I'm about to Blake into the next week's show.
Maybe that's the title of the episode.
It's got to be. How do we not think of that?
I know, you idiot.
How Robin did I season. Not think of
You've
that?
Been robbed.
I robbed everyone of thinking of that earlier.
Robin season.
Let's go to Jason's date.
Oh, God. Jason!
So, all three of these dates are uncomfortable in their own way. The first date is uncomfortable because it's obvious that Blake is, like, contending for this race that there's no winner for.
Sure.
The second date is uncomfortable because Becca decides about 10 seconds in that it's going to go way different than Jason thinks it's going to go.
This was rough. I mean, everything was fine. People were having a good time.
Walk and talk.
Again, classic walk and talk date. You know, we love a farmer's market.
Oh, the market.
Oh my God, let's eat some crickets.
In this foreign country, they eat food, but it's different than
our
food.
It's different. Culture. No, girl, that's not what this is. So, in the walk and talk date, Becca basically has a meltdown in the middle of the date. She makes a comment comes out of nowhere, hits her like a wave.
Not even caught on camera.
Like nausea. So she says to Jason, like, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be hilarious if outside of my apartment in Seattle, we had one of these, like, you know, stone figurines from Thailand. And then all of a sudden she thought to herself, wait, I have no vision of Jason and I spending any time together in his condo in Seattle. This is not what I want.
Yeah, she's like, hey, we should have one of these in our future house. And then the camera like zooms in a little bit and they go, future house, future house, future house. And then all of a sudden, she's spinning and going crazy and the spinning makes her sick and she has to leave the camera. And she basically right there, she's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. And Jason's like, oh, it can happen.
Oh, it can happen.
And thus, the rest of their date.
Right. So she excuses herself. They have the rest of the date. Becca continues to melt down. She says, you know, I don't know why I'm feeling this way. I'm really nervous. Like, you know, Jason is so amazing. And how can I be in this place where I don't like him or I'm not in love with him? Like, maybe I need to give him some more time. And it's like, there is no more time. Like, you gotta get off the pot, sister. This week is banging week. And if you aren't banging somebody, you're marrying them, basically.
Yeah, I mean, she knows she has to get rid of somebody. And she knows...
If you aren't banging somebody, they gotta go home. Period.
I mean, you could at least try first. I mean, that's the way the show works.
That's what I would have done.
I'm not encouraging
that. Hello? I would have banged all three and said, well... I guess.
I know. What do you think Blake is like after it? Blake's like, I bet that's the best you've ever had because I'm so, I love you so much.
You know what? I bet Blake's a crier.
Oh, there, of course he's a crier.
That's, I mean, it's not like, he's not like competitive. He's a crier. He's super emotional. He's somebody that will like lay his whole body on top of your body. He will breathe into your mouth. There's a lot of that going on.
You know what? Speaking of breathing into people's mouths, when we released the Hot John episode, he says something about Blake coming to David's rescue after the whole falling out of the bed thing. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, Blake was basically a first responder. I was like, yeah, because it was a chance to breathe into somebody's mouth. I didn't even put it together
David
in real time.
David almost died.
He didn't, though, because Blake was a good guy.
And now he's here.
Anyway, so Jason goes to dinner with Becca. Yes. And they're sitting there, and she's like, listen, I need to leave for a while. And he sits there going, great, must be a good sign.
No, Jason, she's just getting extra fresh. It is not a good sign, girl. No. And so Jason sort of goes into this whole thing where he thinks about, where he starts talking about, you know, our relationship is this, and, you know, Becca is so great, and I love her, and I've never felt this way about anybody, and Becca is spiraling out of control.
Jason's realizing he's put in all this time and traveled all these miles, and he's not even going to get to have sex with her.
He brought this home, and she didn't even eat the chicken off the buffalo wings.
Can we talk about that?
Let's go back to that one more time.
This is a big glowing neon sign of rejection that he missed.
It says no. Like, I mean, people are sliding into these DMs while I'm Instagram storying this whole thing, and like, people are like, I can't believe she isn't eating the chicken off of this cheese chicken wing still.
Like, there are chicken wings, and there are inferior foods. Yeah. And that is 100% of anything you could eat.
Completely.
It is the best food you could have.
You're right.
She didn't even like lick it. She just kind of brushed her teeth with it for a second and set it down.
And you know what? Fun fact, Jason was eating those chicken wings so hard when he was in Buffalo, he chipped his tooth.
You know what?
That's a man right there.
When you've been away from chicken wings for that long,
listen, you go
don't
hard.
Hold back.
You go hard, man.
Dentists be damned.
That's right.
Get after the wings.
Get after it.
So she comes back. She's like, listen, I did some thinking, and I hate you. And he was...
I don't know if she said that. I don't know if she said she hated him.
I'm summarizing. So she said that, and then Jason basically goes, you're not even like 1% sure. There's not even like a tiny chance that if you
sure
spent more time... So you're saying... Yeah. He's basically trying to, like, beg his way in the fantasy suite.
I can't see you naked. We've been making out for weeks.
He's like, what if the thing that you're feeling, are you sure? And then she goes, no, I'm not sure. And he goes, so you're saying there's a chance.
Can I see a soft nipple?
What if it was just bra on?
What if it's the bad boob? Because, you know, there's a good boob and a bad boob. What if it's the bad boob?
What if we turn the lights off?
Yeah, what you if know? You take all of your clothes off and turn the lights off? Nothing? Can I see a silhouette?
What about just phone stuff?
Yeah. And
basically, he just goes down this list of...
Over the pants stuff.
He goes down this list of compromises he is willing to make. She rejects all of them.
You could blow in my ear. That's fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What if you just told me about a really good meal you had once?
Oh, yeah. It has to be pasta.
We'll do it through a sheet.
Definitely. And, Oh, like The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh! I wasn't even thinking that, but I guess.
But you guess.
I've never seen the show, so that would not be possible.
Yep, get the sheet.
Anyway, it's very sad, and it's long and drawn out. And at the end of it, she's just like, you gotta go. And he gets in the car and leaves, doesn't even cry. He's just on his way. I was like, I don't get it. She's breaking down, because she doesn't get it. Even though she started
it. She started it. She gets it. Yeah. The thing that I love about Jason... And the thing that the show is clearly showing us.
If this isn't Buffalo Wing related, I'm about to punch you.
Well, you better grease up those knuckles. Wind it up.
I'm winding up like Popeye the Sailor Man.
I love that the show is giving him the Bachelor edit. And so later on in the show, Jason does come back. We will discuss that a little bit later. But like this whole breakup and the amount of focus that was paid attention to Jason as he was articulating his feelings is a very strong play for The Bachelor.
I think, and
out of everybody that's here now seeing it on finally at the final three, It could happen. But we'll get to it in the power rankings and the role predictions.
In this section, he does not look very bachelor-y.
Interesting.
He looks kind of desperate.
Mm.
And not kind of desperate, well, extremely
well,
desperate.
You know what he's desperate for?
Chicken wings. Wait. What? Sorry, what are you talking about?
I was going to say...
See somebody naked.
Yeah.
Skin to skin contact.
I was going to say insertion. But here we are. So Jason goes home?
So Jason goes... Dot, dot, dot.
Okay.
And it's Garrett's date.
It's Garrett's date. And as we know, Garrett is going to have a perfect and reasonable date. I mean, there's nothing to be said about this other than the fact that Garrett has a really bad foot tattoo and they went glamping in a tent again, which is like, where is the bathroom? Where's the bathroom? I cannot find the bathroom.
Let's start from the beginning.
Yes.
So they get on this raft to go, you know, rafting, because they've walked through the woods, they've mm-hmm. walked through the city. There's nothing else to walk through except the river.
And Becca and Garrett as a unit like nature.
Garrett does, so Becca does.
Ah, nice.
Is the way it works.
Okay.
I don't think she's super nature-y.
I think she is. You know, she talks about it a lot.
You know what you do when you're in nature? Eat stuff. You know what she doesn't ever do?
Eat stuff.
That.
Yeah, you're right.
So they're on this raft.
I love how they're on this raft, and she talks about, you know, when I planned this date, I didn't realize it was a Thai national holiday. And I'm thinking to myself, you didn't plan this? What are you talking about? You didn't even know what you were going to do until you woke up. They gave you a list of stuff like, we could do this, this, and this. Which one do you want to do? I want to do the rafting thing. You didn't plan anything.
She didn't. So,
no.
So they're on the raft, they're going through the river, and then guess what? It's a bunch of Thai people.
Yeah.
Because it's a holiday and it's like National Rafting Day.
In Thailand.
So, what's the drama here? They're rafting, but everyone's rafting.
No drama.
Cool. So they get through it. Somehow they survive.
I know. All
and
this culture.
They get to the end of it and Garrett's spinning it like, yeah, it was a really strong team building thing. We navigated through all those rafts. Like,
what are you talking about?
First of all, no. And second of all, she's like, yeah, it's such a good thing to bring us together. If we can navigate through that, we can navigate through anything.
I think she is just so in love with Garrett at this point where, you know, he could poop and she would say, that means we love each other, that you're so comfortable around me enough to poop that means we're meant to be together.
The two of them are just like sitting on like the riverbank or something and they're canoodling and she wants to be so close.
She wants to be inside of
his
skin.
That's how you know. She's like, yeah, I want to put my hands on your hands and my head on your head and my shoulder on your shoulder
and
my
feet
on
your
feet.
Ugh.
You're like, geez, get out of him.
Feet, gross. And with that bad tattoo? What does it even say? I don't want to know.
Yeah, but you know what? She's probably like, it's a great tattoo. Matches up with her great tattoos.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They're all
that.
Bad tattoos.
Yeah, I sense that. I sense that. Then in the evening, there's a little bit more conversation about, you know, Garrett opening himself up to his family, about his relationship with Becca, and, you know, him being married previously continues to be a challenge for her. But, you know, it's always interesting that now when they have the career conversation, and so we didn't hear the career conversation with Blake or with Jason, but it's interesting when you hear them have the career conversation, and now that there is so much focus on the Instagram of it all and the influencer of it all.
Instagram has changed the game entirely.
Totally. So when they now have the conversation on the show about, oh, you know, we need to be 50-50. Am I going to move to where you're going to move, or are you going to move where I'm going to move? That's not part
of
the...
You can do Instagram anyway.
Right. That's not part of the conversation anymore. And you can still make more than enough money doing Instagram stuff and influencer stuff and people following you and, you know, building a social following and a lifestyle brand where you don't have to worry about where you live in order to do all that kind of stuff. Like, it's not a matter of, well, we have to be in LA to do social media the way that we want to do it. Or, you know, Garrett has to quit his medical sales rep job or anything. Like, none of that matters anymore. So that totally changes the foundation of your relationship, where for many people on this show was a problem before.
But real talk, how sustainable is that? Once your window is closed, your 15 minutes are over, which for her is going to be very soon. It's not like she's a memorable, you know. She's just going to fade away like JoJo or, you know.
I would argue JoJo actually has a massive social media following. She just released a clothing line. They're doing a lot of stuff.
But how long is that market available?
It's widely available. I mean, now, Caitlyn and Sean B have been doing it for forever. Dez has been doing it for forever.
Sure, but like 5 years ago, we didn't know this was the, like Instagram was
right.
A
but
path.
That's the point. The fact right. that
but in 5 years from now, there will be something new.
Sure, and you
that's
know
what I'm saying.
We don't know what that is, but I mean, now the conversation is different because you don't have to have this weird, you know, back and forth thing about, well, somebody has to move here and you have to do this and, you know, what are you going to do for money and we're not going to be on TV and social media is not a thing. Like, you know, it's different.
But if you're going to get married to somebody, you have to think beyond 5 years into the future. You have to think long-term sustainability, right?
You're right, but I mean, if you
hard
have
skills.
Right, but if you have enough money at some point,
that's true,
where, you know, you can build up equity off of Instagram and influencer stuff, you know, that other piece when 5 years from now, maybe Instagram's not as big as it used to be, or there's some other new channel that people are trying to figure out, you know, you've got a nest egg where you can still live in Minnesota or Milwaukee or wherever the he's from and, you know, live in some big house off of all your influencer winnings.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or sell a bunch of, you know, greeting cards.
So they're on this date and they're having this discussion.
Yes.
And I think it's interesting that she always says what you've been through instead of your divorce. She's like on his team. She does not view this as a problem.
What, the divorce thing?
She views it as something that he has survived.
I find it interesting that
Because she's already made up her mind that she's going to get married to him.
Right. I do.
And it doesn't matter to her that he's done it before.
I do find it interesting that the ex, so to speak, has sort of been dragged through the mud through this whole thing. Because when somebody gets a divorce, it's not always just one person that creates this. Unless...
I think it's probably very rarely a 100-0 type blame allocation.
Right. Like,
the initial action might be a 100-0 type thing, but I feel like there are two, in most divorces, there are two victims and there are two antagonists, and it's, you know, it's usually because it's unhealthy for both of them.
Right. It seems a little weird that the narrative that they're giving Garrett is that he's like he's a survivor.
The sole survivor of this divorce.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, well, you know, we might hear on one hand that old girl was a hothead, but then on the other hand, we haven't heard anything that, you know, might have happened from his side of the story. So that whole narrative does seem a little fishy to
me. Weird they haven't gone into it more on camera. Maybe they've gone into it more off, but I can only go by what I've seen. And she talks about it like it's a rough patch that he got through, but it sounds like they don't go into what caused it.
Right.
They probably did in real life, but after talking to Hot John, I feel like I'm so enlightened.
Yeah, I know so much.
So then, whatever, they go to the fantasy suite. And
they go to a fantasy suite. Becca
the fantasy
gets a
treehouse.
Listen, Becca,
it's terrible.
Listen, it's a fantasy suite house. Becca gets a UTI because there's no bathroom. And then we move on to the
Blake has
day.
This, like, luxurious hotel room. It's, like, marble and, like, glass. Garrett has a really nice treehouse with kind of a curtain you could zip up.
I want to know where the bathroom is. That's there, it.
I don't know. I don't know. It's real interesting to be like, yeah, so this is the night we finally get to,
you know,
watch each other pee in a bucket in the corner.
Wow, that'll make us close.
I guess this is the night that we bond.
That'll make us close. So, the next day or so, we see Big Daddy Jason.
Oh, yeah. Garrett's date is over. It went really well. She picked him. It's whatever.
Right. We see Big Daddy Jason come back to the hotel. He doesn't have the closure that
he
needed.
He's had a change of heart.
He's had a change of heart. He needs some additional closure. He wants to talk to Becca.
He's got this scrapbook. Professionally made scrapbook he wants to get.
Scrapbook professionally made by the
producers.
Gotta
cry about it a little bit.
to share with Becca. Again, this was the moment where I felt like the tables turned. We went from Jason, regular guy, to Jason, the bachelor.
The bachelor bait. This is what they're doing with him.
Yes.
They want to test this among the audiences to see if it resonates with them enough to make this guy the face of the franchise.
100%.
And then he is the only option at this. Barring some sort of magic on Bachelor in Paradise that produces someone.
Right.
He's the only one who could come out of this season.
Because there's no way that after all this drama with Colton and then Colton going on Bachelor in Paradise that we would now be choosing who the Bachelor is between Colton and Jason. And then on top of that, Peter is not doing this anymore. I've made my peace with it. It's hard enough for me to say as it is. Peter is not going to be the Bachelor unless it's like 2 years from now. And then you and I are divorced and then I can be on the show. I don't know.
I'd let you be on the show now.
Oh, thank you so much, honey.
We don't have to get divorced first. Although it might make it... I don't know.
He'd probably be really upset.
Do you want to be the contestant who got divorced just to be on the show for Peter? Or do you want to be a contestant who is currently married? Neither one of those seem like they're successful, you know, records to go
in. Probably the former. Because the latter would get me kicked off immediately.
I don't know.
I gotta play the game.
We could be Mormon. They don't know.
You don't know.
But they're not allowed to ask.
Yeah, but they do.
Yeah, you know they do.
Yeah, they ask. So Jason gets the Bachelor edit. You know, they go through this long conversation, Becca and Jason, about, you know, his relationship with her, what he could have done. And, you know, I feel like what they've been trying to do in the last few seasons is try to have these sort of very deep knockdown, drag out, like fights and like long conversations with each other. And, you know I talk about Peter and Rachel's fight all the time, but that breakup was devastating. And no,
for you.
For me and for many.
Because people. Of personal reasons.
For personal reasons. But just the raw emotion and the fact that that went on for so long is never going to be matched again or won't be matched in a really long time. And the fact that they continue to try to have these sort of last minute fights with people, like they did it with Becca and Ari. They did it with, I don't know, with Nick on his season.
It's weird.
And like, it's weird that they're trying to like top themselves.
Oh, you guys are done? Well, how about you go back in there?
Yeah. And then like, come on.
You feel, everyone just has this, like the characters have this look on their face. Like, what do I do now? Like,
right.
I'm in here.
Right. No, no.
How is this going to go?
And you can tell when it's fake and when it's real.
So after seeing that, right. More likely or less likely to support Jason as the Bachelor? More.
Subscribe, thumbs up, here for it. I'd like to see more Jason shirtless as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't view him as like a sexual object. More so than Becca, for sure. It is unthinkable that a person would want to see her naked or do anything further than that.
She's super thin. But you know, what's it's great literally about Jason unthinkable. Is that he, come to find out, used to play soccer.
Oh, your favorite kind.
And he also used to play hockey. And
yeah,
he's got a
and he
real,
eats chicken wings.
And he eats chicken wings, and he's got a real job, so...
Let's talk about the parts of him that compare favorably with me. Like, we both like chicken wings.
And you guys,
let's praise those things.
You guys both got a soft schnoz.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So
you can't just trademark that phrase.
Yes, I can. So, Jason comes back, he leaves, and...
I'm not entirely sold that makes him more desirable.
It does.
I don't think it does.
The edit? Why?
It doesn't make me feel like he's more complete or more desirable of a person.
I think there's several things that happened on this episode. One, there was a lot of focus on Jason articulating his feelings, what it means to him to be in love, and what kind of relationship he wants to be in. That is groundbreaking fodder for the show. Number two, he was endorsed by Becca on this show, not on the Men Tell All, not on Bachelor in Paradise, not on the After the Final Rose. He was endorsed by Becca on the show, where she said he is going to, nobody deserves Jason, and he is going to find someone who is amazing to be with. You know, he is the most wonderful and amazing man that I've ever met, and he deserves love more than anybody else. Like, girl, come on.
She's saying that because they made her say that.
Right, because they want him to be the bachelor too.
But when they put him and Colton in front of a crowd of women who haven't eaten in a week, next week, you know, the women are going to go significantly crazier for Colton.
Now, that is true.
He's going to be all tan from Paradise. Oof. I mean, it's...
I don't know if Jason will be on this week or not. I think that would be a question. He will be. Oh, okay. So, I don't know.
Why would he not? I mean...
I don't know. I don't know why I thought usually the third person wasn't on.
No, they got to bring him out to audition
it. That's my bad. I'm acting like I've never seen the show before.
Please.
Sorry,
act like you're like it's only your, what, 70th
it's my,
episode
right,
or something?
It's my 70th episode. Jeez. So, I still stand by Jason. Jason's it.
So next week, or 2 weeks from now, we're going to go to the Maldives and find out what happens. We're not going to Prior Lake, Minnesota at all.
No. And I love that they've started doing this, too, to bring the family to the engagement spot.
Don't you know?
For the meet and greet.
I think Prior Lake is a hilarious name for a town. We'll name this one after a lake. No, the one before it.
Shut up. That is the worst thing I've ever
heard.
I love
jokes and words.
Shut up.
Listen, it's late for me, too.
Oh, my God.
I guess let's do power rankings.
I mean, ours are the same.
My number one is Garrett, and my number two is Blake.
Bingo.
Are there any bold predictions worth making?
I think here's the bold prediction.
Worth bolding.
Here's the bold prediction worth bolding. Let me take you back to the Colton versus Jason point. Colton being on Bachelor in Paradise already technically takes him out of the running. Unless he gets an edit on here, because he's already pretty much claimed on Bachelor in Paradise. Because Tia,
at the start.
Right,
yes.
Because Tia has claimed him in many different settings. And so, you know, he's going to go on the show. Either it's going to work out with Tia or it's not. And that is his narrative. His narrative is over once he gets off Bachelor in Paradise. It's not going to be like, you know, well, it didn't work out with Tia because I was technically still in love with her too, or some dumb something like that.
Yeah.
Jason's narrative has nothing to do with Bachelor in Paradise. It is totally separate from this whole thing. And I think he has a better shot just because them doing that one, that thing that they did with Nick, where they brought Nick on to Bachelor in Paradise and gave him the sort of hero's edit. That's never going to happen.
I think
again.
Jason's the best shot, but I'm just not sold that he is above the bar you need to hit of general attractiveness to be the person. I was talking about the characters with some people at work today before I left, and I sort of started collecting thoughts on Becca, and one of my coworkers said this better than I could have said it, but it's accurate. She said, Becca brings out the least in people. And I said, I think that's true. I don't really feel like I like any of these guys, except for maybe Leo and John. I don't really feel like I liked their personalities a lot.
I don't feel like I liked Colton. I mean, I thought Colton was nice, and he had a great, like, backstory about the whole philanthropy thing, blah, 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 and,
yeah.
You know,
I'm saying, I like,
that is great.
I feel like I like Leo and John, and that's basically it.
But Leo can't carry a show.
No, they finished too far down, too.
Well, you know, that's never stopped anybody before.
I guess so. We just gotta sit and hold on.
Yeah.
Side note, as a summer show, like Bachelor in Paradise, it's great, whatever. Is it?
But what about Mistresses? Remember when Mistresses used to come on?
What if the summer show was just Colton makes a series of calls with Allie Raisman and tries to win her back? Because that, I would buy. I would believe in the reality of that.
I think Allie Raisman has been through more than enough this past year.
She has.
And she probably is like, get my name out of your mouth 25 to life so that I can live in peace.
I'd just
please.
Like to get her on camera some more.
I know you would.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Were you done with your boldly predicting?
I mean, we know she's going to pick Garrett next week. He's going to start crying. And then eventually the bold prediction is going to be that we're going to have some kind of long conversation about, you know, Garrett's Instagram. But, you know, John converted me. And you'll hear why next episode.
Tomorrow.
You'll hear why tomorrow.
I don't know what there is to boldly predict. Chris Harrison, like, when they're doing the promo for it, he's not like, the dramatic season finale. He's just like, not. Join us in 2 weeks for the season finale.
Yeah, we'll see you later, girl.
Everyone knows, if I'm Vegas, I'm shutting down the line on betting entirely.
Yeah.
Because it can only be Garrett.
Yeah. I would have shut it down weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean,
Blake's, I don't know how gambling works, but Blake's, I would have shut it down weeks ago.
Blake's going to cry.
Oh, Blake is going to have a meltdown. And his After the Final Rose appearance is going to be roof-stoof.
It's going to be a lot of more crying.
Yeah.
Blake is going to set the world record for crying.
Yeah.
In the 2 hours that are this season's finale.
Do you think he's going to be one of those people that reaches out to Becca after the event and is going to try to reach out to her?
She doesn't deserve that.
She's in love with Garrett. Like,
she has been the whole time.
She's in love with Garrett. Let her be.
All right, I'm basically done. Do you have anything else to say about this episode or these guys or the rest of the season or anything?
I mean, John Graham. That's all I have to say.
John Graham coming in just one day.
24 hours.
From now, yeah. Well, for them. We already know everything that he says.
I already know.
We're so cool.
Ugh.
We know what he says. John, he knows too.
I love him.
He was so... I can't say how like nice and polite and just like friendly and warm he was.
What a cutie.
I was so surprised.
Were you?
He's a celebrity.
He's really great.
I feel like maybe this is just celebrity culture. I was expecting him to be a little bit more highfalutin and like, listen, you guys just do some humongous podcast. I did a TV show.
Right.
He wasn't like that at all.
No, he was wonderful. And that's great because you know what? He's a Midwestern gentleman with kind eyes.
And we found out he used to be a little chubby.
Which, again, you know I'd love that.
That makes great people.
It really does. Benzie, don't forget.
I'm so excited for the people out there to hear this interview.
I agree.
And then maybe I'll sit here another one after that.
Let's not get too excited. He's just a man.
John, come back on the show.
He's just a man.
John, what are you doing right now?
You leave him alone.
You want to go for a run on Saturday and talk about books?
He actually might do that with you.
There's some bars here that have, like, arcade games in them. And, like, you know, I feel like that's probably up both of our alleys.
I think he'd drink a Froze with you and play Street Fighter for sure.
I would get so unknowingly drunk. It'd be way too late. And then I'd find out and I'd be like, these things are all hitting me right now.
I know. I remember when that happened to me, too.
This isn't about you.
Okay. We'll see you tomorrow and next week for our episode with John and for the Mental All. Adam, thoughts, concerns?
Tell all, bit of an exaggeration.
It's a reach.
Tell some for an hour or two.
Tell most.
Not even most, I'd feel like. Tell some. The bare minimum, really.
A bit.
Men tell the bare minimum.
Oh, should be that episode. Men tell the bare minimum. Okay, guys, we'll see you soon. Bye.
It's 2018.
The ring will be revealed with the man. I have no idea what was going on, but I was living for it.
You had some accidents.
Leave. I don't want you here. Get out.
Please get back in the limo.
Oh, you'll have so much fun, don't you know?